Pentagon relieves USS Lincoln with fresh carrier strike group amid regional instability. The United States Navy's rotation of the USS George Washington from Da Nang, Vietnam toward the Middle East on August 15 marks the most consequential carrier redeployment in a generation. Washington strips the Western Pacific of a carrier presence to sustain a war against Iran that has now lasted more than 6 months, handed regional powers a strategic opening, and catalyzed the formation of a new Islamic collective defense architecture that institutional investors must price into every Gulf Cooperation Council-linked asset. The USS Abraham Lincoln has been deployed for more than 266 days without a port stop, a record duration for the U.S. Navy. The vessel carries approximately 5,000 sailors and Marines and has been at sea continuously since departing San Diego, California last November. Its original deployment was scheduled to end in May 2026, after the United States and Israel launched military operations against Iran in February 2026, that timeline was extended indefinitely. U.S. President Donald Trump, speaking to reporters on Friday, August 15, downplayed conditions on the ship, saying the deployment length was not nearly enough. Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth stated that reported conditions on board had been completely misrepresented. Acting Secretary of the Navy Hung Cao acknowledged a small number of mental health cases were treated with no loss of life, and confirmed meal plans had been adjusted when fresh resupply was unavailable, adding that not a single meal had been missed. The Lincoln's record deployment, reports of sailors attempting to jump overboard, and documented supply shortages have drawn calls from several U.S. senators for greater accountability. Brian Clark, a former Navy submariner and defense analyst at the Hudson Institute, told the Associated Press that Beijing may use the carrier gap to project strength and unsettle U.S. allies. They're using this as part of the narrative to demonstrate to the Philippines, to Japan, to Indonesia and others that the U.S. is not the big dog in the Western Pacific anymore, Clark said. The implications extend far beyond a single ship rotation. The Lincoln's record deployment signals a military machine stretched across simultaneous theaters, Venezuela, then the Gulf, now indefinitely. That strain, combined with reported depletion of U.S. offensive and defensive weapons supplies as a result of the Iran war, is reshaping deterrence calculus from Taipei to Riyadh, and it is accelerating the formation of independent regional security architectures that carry direct consequences for capital allocation across Gulf Cooperation Council, sovereign wealth funds, defense-adjacent equities, and emerging market credit. The Mecca Pact, a NATO analog, takes shape without Washington on the same day the USS Washington departed Vietnamese waters, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan confirmed in an exclusive interview with Al Jazeera that Egypt could join the Mecca Joint Defense Agreement, a collective deterrence pact signed the prior Friday in Mecca by Erdogan, Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and Pakistani Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif. The Mecca Pact commits signatories to treating an armed attack against any one of them as an attack against all three, a provision analysts have compared to NATO's Article 5. Officials in Islamabad have cautioned against interpreting the agreement as a NATO equivalent, or as directed at any single country. Erdogan told Al Jazeera that reopening the Strait of Hormuz is a priority for Ankara, arguing its closure serves no party's interests, and credited Qatar with playing a central role in regional mediation efforts. Our view, the Mecca Pact's timing is not coincidental. It was signed 1 week before the USS Washington's departure was publicly confirmed. Erdogan's declaration that Egypt's accession is possible transforms what began as a three-party declaration into a potential bloc spanning Turkey's NATO military infrastructure, Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth capacity, Pakistan's nuclear deterrent, and Egypt's Suez choke point. If Cairo formally accedes, the pact encompasses control over two of the world's most strategically critical waterways simultaneously, the Strait of Hormuz and the Suez Canal. Caption: Mecca Pact signatories and potential members as of August 15, 2026. Financial figures for individual defense budgets were not disclosed in source material. The Pacific Vacuum and the Taiwan Premium, the USS Washington, is a Nimitz-class nuclear-powered aircraft carrier capable of carrying more than 6,000 personnel and approximately 90 aircraft. Its departure from the Pacific leaves the region without a U.S. carrier presence, a gap with no confirmed replacement timeline. Clark of the Hudson Institute said he does not believe the shift would in itself embolden China to attack Taiwan, but noted Beijing will use the absence as a narrative tool against U.S. allies. The USS Abraham Lincoln has been deployed for more than 266 days without a port stop, a record for the U.S. Navy. Its mission was originally scheduled to end in May 2026. What this signals for investors: Taiwan Strait risk premiums have been structurally underpriced by markets that modeled U.S. carrier presence as a constant. It is not. The Washington's redeployment to the Middle East demonstrates that the U.S. carrier fleet, comprising 11 active ships, cannot simultaneously sustain a major Gulf War and full-spectrum Pacific deterrence. Any deterioration in the Iran war's trajectory that requires additional carrier deployment makes the Pacific gap wider and longer. The implication for capital: technology equities exposed to Taiwan's semiconductor supply chains, including advanced logic and memory fabrication that has no near-term substitute geography, carry an incremental geopolitical risk that was not in consensus models as of Q2 2026. The South Korean KOSPI's behavior offers a live data point. The KOSPI stress test: what chip volatility reveals about supply chain risk pricing. South Korea's KOSPI index more than doubled from the start of 2026 to rise above 9,000 points in mid-June before falling to 5,500 within weeks, a decline that Wee Koon Chong of BNY described as one of the sharpest corrections in the index's history, comparable to COVID-19 and the 1997 Asian financial crisis. As of the date of reporting, the index had recovered to approximately 6,800 points. The correction was driven in part by concerns over capital expenditure sustainability in artificial intelligence, according to investment analyst Tobias Rejure. The sell-off wiped out gains for retail investors who had used leverage. By end of July 2026, an estimated 1.2 million South Korean personal investors had been exposed to margin pressure. One investor, bank worker Young Jun Kim, lost 20 million Korean won, $14,000, 10,500 pounds in July alone, a decline of approximately 25% in his tech holdings. A second investor, Woonsa Kim, saw his SK Hynix position fall to roughly half of its peak value after the stock had previously quadrupled. What the KOSPI stress test reveals is not primarily a story about retail investors. It is a signal about how semiconductor supply chain geography is being repriced in real time. Korea's chipmakers sit in the same Pacific theater that the USS Washington just vacated. Margin calls, forced liquidations, and the compression of 9,000 to 5,500 in a matter of weeks reflect the market's partial but incomplete absorption of a new geopolitical reality. The U.S. military cannot guarantee simultaneous deterrence across every theater where technology supply chains are concentrated. Gulf Cooperation Council credit and sovereign wealth: war costs meet defense consolidation. The Strait of Hormuz remains closed or contested as of August 15, 2026, with talks stalled over control of the waterway, a strategic choke point for global hydrocarbon trade. Iranian attacks have taken a toll on U.S. military assets across the region, including a U.S. Navy base in Bahrain, complicating resupply and maintenance for the Lincoln and likely for the Washington upon arrival. The Mecca Pact's formation in this context is as much a financial architecture decision as a military one. Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, which has over the past decade deployed capital into technology, infrastructure, and global private equity, now sits inside a collective defense framework with two nuclear-capable or nuclear-armed allies, Pakistan, and by extended association, Turkey's NATO deterrent. The implications for PIF's investment posture and for the Gulf Cooperation Council's appetite to issue dollar-denominated debt under a new security umbrella are significant, though specific sovereign wealth allocation changes were not disclosed in available sources. Our view, the Bahrain-based damage reported in source material, is the most underappreciated data point in this story for credit investors. Bahrain hosts the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet. Damage to that base constrains not just carrier resupply, but the entire logistics chain underpinning U.S. force projection in the Gulf. For holders of Gulf Cooperation Council sovereign debt, the question is no longer whether the U.S. will defend these states, but whether it retains the physical infrastructure to do so at scale. The plecamium view markets are pricing the Iran war as a contained, bilateral conflict. It is not. The USS Lincoln's 266-day deployment, the Pacific carrier gap, the Mecca Pact's expansion signals, the Bahrain base damage, and the COSPE's AI-driven collapse are not separate stories. They are one story about the fracturing of the post-1991 Pax Americana security architecture that underwrote a generation of risk-free rate assumptions in Gulf Cooperation Council credit, Asian technology equities, and global supply chain pricing. Plecamium's thesis is this: the Mecca Pact is the first institutional expression of a new multipolar security order in the Islamic world. If Egypt accedes, as Erdogan signaled is possible, the pact controls the Suez Canal, the Red Sea, via Saudi Arabia's Red Sea Defense Alliance, referenced in source material, the Strait of Hormuz currently contested, and Pakistan's nuclear deterrent. That is a bloc with more chokepoint leverage over global trade than any non-US alliance in history. Private equity capital with Gulf Cooperation Council exposure needs to model a scenario in which this bloc, not Washington, sets the terms of regional security guarantees within 5 years. The second-order play, Turkish defense industrials and Pakistani military procurement budgets, are the direct beneficiaries of the Mecca Pact's formalization. Erdogan's government has built Turkey into a drone-exporting power. A collective defense pact that treats an attack on Saudi Arabia as an attack on Turkey creates a procurement pipeline that bypasses U.S. arms sales channels. That is a structural shift in the global defense supply chain, and it is happening now, not in a future scenario. For Pacific-exposed technology portfolios, the USS Washington's departure is the signal to reassess Taiwan's Strait risk premiums that were calibrated for a world with 11 carriers in full deployment rotation. That world ended on August 15, 2026. The bottom line, the USS Lincoln's 266-day record deployment is a symptom, not the disease. The disease is a U.S. military budget and carrier fleet that cannot simultaneously fight a Gulf war, deter China, and maintain the logistics infrastructure that underwrote post-Cold War financial globalization. The Mecca Pact was not signed in a vacuum. It was signed because the vacuum exists. Institutional capital should treat August 15, 2026, as the date the multipolar security transition moved from theoretical to operational. Gulf Cooperation Council sovereign debt spreads, Taiwan Strait risk premiums in semiconductor equities, and the pricing of Turkish defense-adjacent assets all require recalibration. The investors who move first on that recalibration will set the terms for those who follow.